This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Democratic Senators Cory Booker of New Jersey and Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts in early July 2017 introduced a bill in Congress to improve the treatment of female inmates, including ending the practice of shackling pregnant women while they give birth. The Dignity for Incarcerated Women Act addresses the fastest growing prison population in the United States, women. Pregnant women in particular face harsh conditions during their incarceration, but ironically, conditions in the nation as a whole are so severe in the realm of healthcare that some women actually get better medical care within prisons than before their incarceration. After spending years treating pregnant women and mothers at the San Francisco County Jail, my guest Caroline Suffren has written a new book about medical care of female inmates. Caroline is a medical anthropologist and an obstetrician-gynecologist at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, and she now joins me to discuss her new book. It's called Jail Care: Finding the Safety Net for Women Behind Bars. Welcome to the program, Caroline.
Thank you for having me, Sonali.
First, tell me about your experience at San Francisco County Jail. In what capacity did you work there, and was that the basis for your research that led to this book?
Yes, well, I started working at the San Francisco County Jail providing clinical care as a physician gynecologist in about 2007. And after a few months of being a doctor there, I was really overwhelmed in terms of the needs of the patients I was caring for, the other people working in the jail, and the fact that I was providing care in a space of punishment. And so after observing these things, I sensed that there was something bigger happening about how our society treats women, the role that jail plays in society in this age of mass incarceration. And so after being a doctor there, I decided to not only continue working there, but I also went back and did my studies in anthropology, and the research upon which this book is based comes out of my dissertation research from my anthropology studies. So I continued to provide medical care at the San Francisco Jail for nearly 6 years, and then also conducted ethnographic research among incarcerated women and the people who worked at the jail.
And so we imagine that jails and prisons are places where you get the worst of the worst kind of care because there's just generally not enough money, there's not enough staffing. What was the quality of the care that the women that you treated received? Obviously, I'm sure they got great care from you personally, but as a whole, their healthcare needs as a whole, what was that like for them within San Francisco County Jail?
Well, it is true that for many women and for many incarcerated people across the country, the health care they receive in prison or jail can be the worst. And that relates in part to the fact that there is not much standardization or oversight in the health care that they receive. And incarcerated people are the only people in our country with a constitutional right to health care. So prisons and jails are constitutionally mandated to provide health care to people inside, but there are no detailed requirements as to what services must be provided. And so you get tremendous variability around the country for pregnant people and non-pregnant people alike. And at some places it can be very harsh and dangerous. Now at the San Francisco jail where I worked, things were different than at many other jails. And this is not to say that medical care there is perfect, but it is relatively good and considered to be one of the better jails for medical care. And that is both in terms of evaluating the services that they provide, the people who work there, and also what I heard from the incarcerated women themselves. They would say that, you know, I've been at a lot of other jails around the country, around the state, around the Bay Area, and the health care that we get in the San Francisco jail, while it's no means perfect, it's certainly better. And so what that looks like in San Francisco relates to the fact that health services at the San Francisco jail are provided through the Department of Public Health. And so you have the sense of public health mission that is woven into the decisions about what services are provided at the jail itself. And so in the San Francisco jail, for pregnancy care and other reproductive health care services, what women received was comparable to what they would receive in the community.
And so, just an aside, by the way, is there in general a difference between the kind of medical care people, women, receive within jails versus prisons?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because jails and prisons are very different institutions. Oftentimes people think of them interchangeably, and that is not the case. And that's actually one of the major points of the book and why I was able to observe what I did. And so I'll briefly just go into that and then explain some of the healthcare differences. So prisons are under state or federal jurisdiction, and people who go to prison go there because they've been convicted of a crime and usually a felony and are usually serving a sentence that's longer than a year. Jails are under county jurisdiction. And so they are located in the communities where people live, or at least where they have gotten arrested. Many people, up to 50%, and at the San Francisco jail at times, it's up to 80% of people in jails haven't even been convicted of anything. They are awaiting their trial, they're fighting their case. And most of them who are there in jail doing this are there because they cannot make their bail. Jails are for anyone, who gets arrested for certain alleged offenses, and so people may get released directly from jail and never go to prison. People are in jail for as little as a few hours, up to a few days, weeks, months. Usually, if you serve a sentence in jail, it's for a sentence that's less than a year's time. And so, when that comes to bear for healthcare, there are a couple of issues to think about. The first is who is managing the healthcare services in the prison or the jail. As I mentioned, at the San Francisco County Jail, it's under the Department of Public Health. That means that the Sheriff's Department has nothing to do, no say in what medical services are provided. At other jails, it might be the Sheriff's Department who manages it and who makes decisions about whom to hire, whom to employ, etc.
And in
At
such
many
cases,
state
do you often
prisons,
find worse care?
I think it would be hard to generalize, but that is, if you look at lawsuits, for instance, at places that contract out their services to private prison health corporations, and jails and prisons can do that, you do see a lot of lawsuits and a lot of legal action coming out of places that have been privatized. But we actually have no data to actually know whether it's worse or better. A lot of it really depends on the local ecosystem, the people who are working there, etc. In prisons, people are there for a longer period of time, and so the decisions about what healthcare services to provide are inflected with that sense of timing. And likewise, jail is also inflected with the sense that it's more short term. And so different jails around the country have different priorities in terms of how they see the health of the people inside. And this is where I would come back to the San Francisco model, which is they really understand their connection with the community and that the incarcerated patients we see inside are not just incarcerated people. They are the people in our community who just happen to be having the Department of Public Health oversee the healthcare services ads.
So let's talk about pregnant women in jails, and in particular the San Francisco County Jail, and what you found. Any woman who's been pregnant knows that during the time of your pregnancy, you basically need and end up interacting with medical personnel far more than at any point in your life, assuming you are of relatively good physical health. And to find oneself incarcerated during this very difficult time must be a frightening experience. Can you share with us some of the stories of the women you interacted with for whom the medical care they received in jail actually was much more formal and higher standard than what they got outside?
Yes, so there are several women whom I interacted with in my research who only got prenatal care when they were in jail. And so one woman, in the book I call her Evelyn, she was in and out of jail on three separate occasions. And most of her prenatal care was in jail. Now, she did actually get released 5 days before she gave birth, and she went to one clinic visit in the community. But before that, in and out of jail, that was the only place she got prenatal care. Similarly, another woman I came to know quite well, I call her Kima in the book, she also was in and out of jail handful, probably about 5 times in her pregnancy, and only got prenatal care in jail. And that's a combination of factors. One is that it's a reflection of the lives that these women lead on the streets and the way their lives are structured. And that's really an important part of the overall argument of the book. And what I observed in my research is that for women like Kima and Evelyn, who only got prenatal care in jail and who got relatively good prenatal care, I'm sure they would have some things to complain about with it, but relative to what they could have gotten elsewhere, it was actually pretty thorough prenatal care. And that is a reflection of just how broken our system is and our society is on the streets, and that our safety net is so anemic and so in so much of disarray that women like Kima and Evelyn feel that the only place they were able to get care was inside a space of punishment.
And that is a really, really important question, particularly at a time when we are having this nationwide debate on what people can expect from our government in terms of the right to health care. And you mentioned that incarcerated people are the only ones with a constitutional right to health care, and that's pretty remarkable. If we saw a country where all citizens had the right to health care, we might see things even different within jails and prisons, right, in terms of the needs for health care?
Yes, absolutely. It's a tremendous paradox, isn't it, that only you have to be stripped of most of your rights by becoming incarcerated to gain that one right to health care. And it speaks to the connections between that side. And many people who are cycling through and trapped in the criminal justice system are suffer from poor health indices before they become incarcerated. And so women like Kima and Evelyn and other women I cared for in the jail, most of them were poor. Most of them were women of color, and they suffered from a tremendous amount of systemic racism. Most of them had histories of trauma and abuse. Most of them had limited access to health care before they became incarcerated. And most of them struggled with addiction and other mental health issues. And so the reasons that they were arrested and brought into jail were often, you know, not because they're violent or dangerous criminals, but because the conditions of their lives were such that oftentimes they turned to petty crime, survival crimes, or even they didn't commit any crime at all, but the system just presumed that they were criminals and would often arrest them for things on false charges. Now, how that relates to healthcare and thinking about the role of government in taking care of the citizens, that is such a fundamental part of how I began to see the connections between the safety net and this constitutional mandate for prisons and jails. And that constitutional mandate for prisons and jails to provide healthcare, that derives from a Supreme Court case in 1976. And the arguments behind it are, if you're stripping a person of their ability to advocate and tend to their own medical needs, they can't call up their own doctor, they can't go to the emergency room on their own, then that is something that the prison has to step in and provide. And so if that is something that has been decided as that is, you know, an appropriate thing for the state to intervene on and an appropriate way for it to provide care, then why does it have to be contained to a house of punishment and a house of confinement when there are so many other similar structures outside of the prison or jail that exist within our society that prevent people from being able to get health care in a way that, you know, again, it doesn't involve their being incarcerated, but there are similar structures in place that that make people's health care access limited. And so it really begs the question of, well, if society has decided that it is appropriate to provide people with health care, which I agree it should, then what is the role of government in providing everybody with health care as well?
Well, that is a very good question to end on. Again, as we remain engaged in this debate around healthcare nationally, Carolyn, thank you so much for joining us and good luck to you with the book.
Thank you so much for having me, Sonali. It's been a pleasure.
My guest is Carolyn Safran, medical anthropologist and an obstetrician gynecologist at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. We're talking about her book, Jail Care, Finding the Safety Net for Women Behind Bars. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.